نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا ايها الناس انتم الفقراء الى الله والله هو الغني الحميد، ان يشاء يذهبكم وياتي بخلق جديد، وما ذلك على الله بعزيز. ولا تزر وازرة وزر اخرى، وان تدع مثقلة الى حملها لا يحمل منه شيء ولو كان ذا قربى، انما تنذر الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب واقاموا الصلاة ومن تزكى فانما يتزكى لنفسه والى الله المصير. وما يستوي الاعمى والبصير ولا الظلمات ولا النور ولا الظل ولا الحرور، وما يستوي الاحياء ولا الاموات، ان الله يسمع من يشاء وما انت بمسمع من في القبور ان انت الا نذير. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. verse 15 سوره الفاتر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us along with the entire creation, along with every human being that walks the face of this earth. And Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, not O you who believe, not O Muslims, not O those living in third world countries. Ya ayyuhan nas, all of mankind is addressed, wherever you might be. In whichever corner of the globe you might be, whoever you are, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, prince or pauper, male or female, it doesn't matter. Ya ayyuhan nas, you are one of the global family created by Allah. What is our status? Who are we? Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. One of the most powerful verses in the Quran. You're all beggars. Beggars before Allah. And there is no degradation in this knowledge. In fact, there is complete liberation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us fuqara. Fuqara is the plural of faqir. And a faqir is someone who is nothing. Someone who is destitute. And this is a term which we use contemptuously. Or this is a term which we use in negative terms. And we use it to imply someone's total shame. That he is nothing. He is a loser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this term for us. Why? Antumul fuqara. Not to degrade us in any way. To liberate us. So that we realize who we truly are. So that we see through the deception of this dunya. We see through the deceptions of shaitan and we understand our own reality. Who are we? We are nothing but beggars before Allah. Because even if someone has something, whether it's wealth, whether it's talents, whether it's skills or powers of any sort, they're all temporary. They can be taken away in a moment's instant. As we see happening daily, when you hear of people who've died in sudden accidents, or you hear people whose wealth has been wiped out by one trial in the stock market. Or you hear of people who've been involved in terrible traumas that have afflicted them with complete memory loss. And you realize that life is so uncertain. It's so chancy. Anything can happen, and it does usually happen. So what does this denote? What does this tell us about who we are? Antumul fuqara, wake up people, we're all beggars. No matter how arrogantly we might strut around, no matter how confidently we might hold our heads erect and say, I'm not ready for Allah, I'm not ready for Salah, the fact remains that we are all starving, thirsty beggars before Allah. Wallahu, and Allah, huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. He is the self-sufficient, the all-rich, Al-Hamid, the praiseworthy. According to Abdul Hakim Murad, he gave a fascinating talk, and in that talk he compared the earth to rented accommodation. Now when you rent an accommodation, the first rule that the tenant knows is a must, is that he has to pay the rent. And only on that condition will the landlord sustain or maintain his accommodation. And if the tenant refuses to pay the rent, then the landlord does not have to maintain the accommodation and can turn the tenant out any time he likes. According to Abdul Hakim Murad, everything in this dunya is rented accommodation. Our landlord is Allah Ar-Rahman, the generous, and the only form of rent he asks us for, and that too for our own good, is that we thank him, that we acknowledge him, that we worship and obey him. When we fail to do this, when we turn our backs on him, when we forget him and thus forget ourselves, what happens is that we open ourselves up to calamity. What's happening in the world today, environmentally? Look at the global warming. Look at the increase in hurricanes, the increase in earthquakes, floods, and all these natural disasters. And what does this denote? That mankind, who is busy gobbling up the resources of the earth without thanking the landlord, is now paying the price for this neglect. And Allah is showing us that if you don't want to pay the rent, then I don't need to maintain this accommodation. Wake up, people. Ya ayyuhannas, this is us, this is you and me. This is not some obscure race that we don't know about. This is not 1400 years ago. This is 2002, you and me. We come in this. This is Allah speaking directly to all of us in this room. O mankind, wake up. Who are you? Who are you that you don't pray? Who are you that you are not ready for Allah? You are just antumul fuqara. We're just beggars. We have nothing that He's not given us. Nothing that He can't take away from us. And it starts right from our embryonic existence. When we were tiny embryos in our mother's womb, when He was fashioning us, shaping us, molding us, giving us talents, giving us our temperaments, giving us our faculties, giving us eyes and eyesight, giving us tongues and the power of speech, who was there to sue Allah if He did not give us any of those faculties? Is there any that could have argued with Allah if He had withheld even one talent from us? If He had withheld even one gift from us? In the Quran, Allah says, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ He created man, and then He gave man the supreme gift that differentiates between man and the other forms of creation. He gave us the power of communication. He gave us the power of articulate speech that we can convey our message to others. And this is one of the greatest gifts of Allah. So this tiny embryo is in its mother's womb, and Allah is protecting it and Allah is nourishing it. And when this little baby is born, we all know that of all the species that exist on earth, the human baby is the most helpless of all, totally unable to fend for itself, a couple of years before that little baby can do anything for itself. So Allah put mercy in the hearts of those who were going to raise that little baby. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that God divided mercy into 100 parts. 99 parts He kept for Himself, and one part, just one part He sent down to earth, by virtue of which people are merciful to one another, so much that the mare lifts her hooves away from its foal, fearing she may trample on it. That is so beautiful. That means that whatever love we have within us, whatever mercy, tenderness, compassion we have within us, that too has come from Allah. Alhamdulillah. Why? Rabbil Alameen. Because He is nurturing us minute by minute, moment by moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that every moment of the day, we're dependent upon Him. And this dependence increases. When you see a little newborn baby and you look at his perfect hands and his perfect feet and the way that little baby is crying for milk, who taught that baby to cry? Antumul fuqara ila Allah. The mother didn't teach the child how to suck. That little baby was born and Allah gave it this knowledge. Now man's greatest crisis in a way comes when he attains powers that make him imagine that he no longer needs Allah. Because newborn babies and little children are very pure. They don't know how to disobey Allah. So they're Muslims. They're ones who obey, ones who submit. But as the child starts growing older and as the child starts seeing what's happening around him and shaitan's trap becomes more and more intricate and this child grows into a youth, he begins to imagine that he is a great being in himself. He has no need for Allah. He has no need of Allah. He has no need of Salah. He has no need of the Quran. These are outdated, obsolete remedies that he does not require. And this is what I would call every human being's midlife crisis or your youth crisis. Everyone goes through this stage of rebellion where they go, oh, I don't need this. I don't need religion. Now, some people emerge from this crisis, bi-iznillah. Some remain in it till that moment when they are forced to acknowledge something that they could not bear to admit. La ilaha illallah. And this is, of course, the moment of death. That's the moment when all rebels have to understand the ultimate truth. That's the moment when you realize no more rebellion, no more arrogance, it's all at an end. And now my own relatives, my own friends are going to imprison me in a cage that's 6 feet underground. Where is my wealth now? Where is my jewelry? Where are my friends, my hangers-on? Nobody can help me, no one. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, because we're all beggars. And a starving man cannot feed you. And you would not ask a drowning man to throw you a rope. He's drowning himself. People cannot help us. And they will not help us. Only Allah. And then in the grave, then when you see reality, when the angels show up before you, and they start asking you uncomfortable questions that you try to dodge in dunya, but now are forced to face. Questions like, who was your Lord? What did you live by? Who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And it will be too late then to acknowledge, now I realize that Allah was my master. Please, can I have one more chance? No more chances. The most important quality that the mu'min needs to remember, the most important fact that he needs to remember is the remembrance of Allah coupled with the remembrance of death. Because death is the time when the ledger is closed. Death is the time when the pens are taken away from my hands and it's too late. It's all over. And death is everywhere. I read a saying once, death is like an arrow already in flight. Your life lasts only till it reaches you. A scholar once said that somewhere in the world, and you don't know where it is, there is a door. And that door has your name on it. And when you reach that door, suddenly, in the course of your life, unexpectedly, or sometimes when people go through long illnesses, you come to that door, you open it and you walk right through. And you walk into that unseen realm of the qabr. And that's it. It's over. Now the key to success is remembering that that door could be right round the corner. It could be waiting for me as I walk outside and get into my car today. It could be waiting for me as I reach my home today. No one knows but Allah. Which is why in the Quran Allah says, لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. There is no reason to feel scared of Allah. Don't feel oppressed by Allah. Because Allah's love for us is mind-boggling. And He says in the Quran, there is no refuge from Allah. No one will hide you from Allah except Allah Himself. Seek refuge in Allah, not from Him. Run towards Him, not from Him. Flee towards Him, not away from Him. That's the path of destruction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And don't kid yourself into thinking that He is in any way dependent upon our worship or our du'as. This is our tragedy. Shaitan convinces us into thinking that every time we do a good deed, we've done Him a great favor. You know, you read your salah with attention and concentration and you get up feeling smugly that, you know, Allah is so lucky to have someone like me. Na'uzubillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, rich, self-sufficient, independent. He does not need us. Now you ask, why doesn't He need us? Because he is Al-Hamid. He is praiseworthy in himself. He is not waiting for our pathetic, unworthy words of praise to exalt him. He is the angels glorifying him night and day. More than that, in the Quran he tells us, إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Not a thing in the cosmos but is glorifying his praise. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَصْبِيحَهُمْ. You can't understand their praise, that's all there is to it. I read a beautiful story about a Turkish teacher, Turkish spiritual teacher. And he sent his students out into the garden to pick flowers for the house. They all returned with the finest flowers they could get. Now, you know, masses of flowers, your teachers asked you to get something. All except for one. He took a very long time, and when he returned, he just had one faded, withered flower in his hands. And the teacher asked him, you know, why did you take so long and why have you brought just one flower? And he said something beautiful. He said, when I went out to pick the flowers, I found them all singing the praises of their creator. And I dared not interrupt them. Except for one, finally I saw one that had finished its song. And this is the one that I have brought you. It's a beautiful concept. That everything, a flower in the act of growing or a flower in the act of blooming or blossoming, is a flower that is praising Allah. Everything that Allah has created, whether the stars or the trees, or the insects or the bees, just the fact that they're following their function is their praise of Allah. And this is what Allah wants us to know. هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. He doesn't need us. We need Him. And we need Him so that we can liberate ourselves. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that worship of Allah is our own basic human right. It's not a duty. It's not a burden. This is our right. Why? أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. You know that hearts only find peace in the remembrance of Allah. So why do we deny ourselves our most important right? Why do we deny ourselves the source of solace in our life and say, I don't want to pray. Don't pray. No one can force you to pray, but remember that you're denying yourself that heart's comfort. You're denying yourself what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the coolness of his eyes. Blessed is the one who liberates himself from serving others, from being a slave to people, from being a slave to his own desires, from being a slave to the dictates of society, and serves one master and one master alone. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When his Lord told him, surrender, قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. His answer is so spontaneous. That's it. End of argument. أَسْلَمْتُ, of course. That goes without saying, I submit. لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because this is the Lord of the cosmos. It's not an ordinary invitation. Do you know that the Quran has been described as مَأْدَبَةُ اللَّهِ. And مَأْدَبَة means where a king holds a banquet, and then he invites those worthy of his banquet to attend it. All of us in this room are attending Allah's invitation right now. And if there is any who says, I don't want to attend Allah's banquet, he's welcome to do that. But he's the one who's being deprived, not Allah. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah is independent. Allah is praiseworthy. Remember, at the end of the day, no one is indispensable. This is our arrogance that leads us to believe we can't imagine the world functioning without us. But day and night you see people die and life goes on, difficult though it might be for their loved ones. And after some time they too forget. So if they too can forget, what makes us imagine that we're indispensable, that we're not going to die? Allah warns us, إِيَّشَ يُذْهِبْكُمْ. If Allah willed, He can destroy you all. He can remove all of us. وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. And He can bring about a new creation. It's not difficult for Him. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. This is not hard for Allah. Remember that in Islam, every day is a new beginning. Every day is a new chance. A new chance for repentance. A new chance for tawbah. A new chance for shukr. A new chance to make something of your akhirah. And when we waste that day and keep imagining that I have so many days left ahead, this is the greatest delusion with which shaitan afflicts us. This is what people tell you if you're young and you turn towards Allah, you're so young. It's as if it's a waste for youth to turn towards Allah. You know, religion is for old people who have nothing better to do than plan their hereafter. Allah says, wake up. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. This day could be our last. Tomorrow could be our last day. Are we ready? Do we have something with us? وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزِ It's not tough for Allah. And Allah warns us about the second greatest delusion. The second greatest delusion with which we convince ourselves that we'll be okay, it's not a big deal, is that even if I do make it to Akhirah, when I do make it to Akhirah, someone will come forward and help me, either my pious grandfather or my little son that I'm making him memorize the Quran so he can step forward and save me. Or my sister or my friend, after all, she promised that if you lie for me or if you do this sin for me, I'll take your sin for you. And that's a lie we're happy to believe. Yes, you take my sin for me. As if people don't take our burdens for us in dunya, what makes us imagine that they will step forward in akhirah? We have to understand what we sow in dunya, we shall reap in akhirah. The words I utter in dunya are the words I will hear, I will bear on my back in akhirah. No one's going to step forward and say, here, let me take your lies for you. Let me take all the times you hurt your servant's feelings for you. Let me take all the times that you were gossiping for you. Why should anyone? Everyone will be laden with their own burdens. If you've ever seen, you know, if you've ever been on a busy international flight, and you come out and everyone's carrying their own luggage, there are very few people, if any, who will actually step forward and help someone else. This might be done by someone who doesn't have any baggage or he's got very light baggage. Most people are busy staggering under the weight of their own suitcases. They don't have time to turn around and look for others that can we help them. And this is precisely the case in Akhirah, only much worse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about this day. The day of judgment is a day which will make the most tender-hearted people callous. You know, in dunya, to some extent, people do help us. And everyone has some compassionate relative, some compassionate friend. When you're in trouble, you say, oh, I'll just call her and she'll just come over and take over. Sorry, no one like that on akhirah. No one at all. And this is Allah's warning. Allah tells us in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ Can you even imagine a day like this? A day when a man will run from his brother. Think of your brothers and sisters. How precious they are. How they support us. How they weep for us when we're in distress. But on the day of judgment, we'll be running from them and vice versa. Min akhihi wa ummihi and his mother. Now this is something which is mind-boggling. How can we imagine a situation where my mother is running from me? Or I'm running from my mother? My mother who takes all my problems for me, who prays for me night and day. The one person I can rely upon. And I'll be running from her? Wa abihi and his father. Wa sahibatihi wa banihi and his spouse and his children. So that's it. There are no more relations that we rely upon unless it's our friends. And in the Quran, Allah warns us, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا Best friends will not even ask about each other. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ Although they'll be shown to each other. In dunya, when you see your best friend going through some agony, you can't bear it. Even if she's not in front of you, even if she's in another country or in another continent, you're crying for her, praying for her. But on the day of judgment, everyone's attitude will be, Allah save me. I don't care about anyone else. يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِي Allah warns us that on that day, the sinner, the one who didn't pray properly, the one who wasn't interested in gathering good deeds, he will want to throw his family, his children, his wife, the whole world into hell. Just so he can escape with his own skin. And this sometimes happens in disasters, you know, earthquakes or in floods or in terrible fires. And parents sometimes leave their own children sleeping because the fear or rather the love of oneself is predominant in our nature. This is the most important need in our nature. We want to save ourselves. We can't bear pain upon ourselves. Now if this can happen in dunya, it can most certainly happen in akhirah. Allah warns us, لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. Nobody is going to step forward and take your burden. So wake up. Realize this before it's too late. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us one situation where you will actually be carrying someone else's burden, but they will also be carrying that burden. And this is the situation, مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. Whoever pioneers an evil deed, for instance, maybe in some gathering you lied in front of someone else and they saw you lying and after that they started lying. Or maybe you did something or we did something so evil or something foul, no matter what it was, and people look at us and they start emulating us. They start copying us. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, whoever pioneers an evil deed, he will bear its burden and the burden of those who act upon it after him. May Allah prevent us from this, that my lie is being passed on from generation to generation, or my evil words or my harsh treatment of someone else is being passed on, it's being transmitted against me. Now remember, the person who does that evil deed will also bear the burden, and the person that he is emulating will also bear the burden. Both will be bearing the burden. It won't be that the follower will be told, you're exonerated. He won't be exonerated either. They will both be bearing the load. وَإِن تَدْعُ مُثْقَلَةٌ إِلَىٰ حِمْلِهَا. Imagine this scene. In dunya we lie and then we forget. It's so easy to forget. We yell at our servant and then we forget. 5 minutes later we don't even remember all the lies we told in the day, all the words of gossip, all the harsh, foul deeds we did. But they're all being recorded. And on the day of judgment, when you look at that mountain, God forbid, what will we do that day? إِن تَدْعُ مُثْقَلَةٌ إِلَىٰ حِمْلِهَا. Imagine, you're staring aghast at a mountain of sins. You told, okay, these are your lies. These are the prayers you never read. These are the words of hypocrisy. These are the foul sights you saw, the foul sounds you heard, the foul words you uttered. Now you pick them up. How can you pick it up? And he will call out, can you help me? Can you help me? And Allah says, لا يحمل منه شيئا ولو كان ذا قربا. Not one atom will be lifted from it. No mother will come rushing up anxiously, let me lift it for you. No one. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَىٰ. Even if it is your own relative, no one will care. Everyone will be calling out, Al-Aman, Al-Aman, safety. Allah, safety. Allah, save me. I don't care about anyone else. Just save me. So what does this all lead to? Never ever make the mistake of ruining your akhirah for someone else's dunya. And this is what we do day and night. We see people sin, our friends are gossiping, we're scared. We don't want to offend them. We don't want them to be upset with us. People actually commit social drinking. They drink socially because they want a social status. They want their boss to be pleased with them. So he's not going to come rushing up on the day of judgment. Allah warns us quite plainly, you will bear the consequences. You will be carrying that bitter harvest of whatever it was you sowed in dunya. So we hear all this, and then what do? Shaitan tells us to switch off mentally. Just switch off. This is frightening stuff. This is all that Maulvis talk about. This is not for you and me. We'll think about it at a later stage in life. And Allah reminds us gently,